What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg, and in today's episode, we're going to be recapping arguably the best win for the Wizards this season. They're sixth of the season, but when it comes to seeing their young guys, their young core flash while the team is actually successful, and those guys are the driving force, sort of what this rebuild and all of these losses and losing seasons have been about. This was kind of the first time that those guys led the way for a really good 48-minute effort against the Toronto Raptors for the sixth win of the season. The Wizards take this one 138 to 117, a game they pretty much led wire to wire. They used a really good second quarter and a really good fourth quarter to sort of propel themselves to victory. It was a complete switch up from last game against Charlotte, where they were down two entering the fourth and then completely got blitzed like we've seen a lot. So nice to see them recover. But this game was all about Keyshawn George, a lot really about Bilal Coulibaly and how he was able to respond. Some good, some bad, but mostly good with Bilal. And again, I'm going to choose to be positive in this one. You had Trey Johnson who contributed. Bob Carrington continues to be really impressive, especially from the three-point line. Alex Sarr was good as well. And the team came away with the win. I tweeted this out, but I'll read it because this is kind of the big emphasis of the game for me, was what Washington's young core was able to do. Keyshawn George, 23-6 on 9 of 13 from the field. Bilal Coulibaly, 21 points, 8 boards, 3 steals. It seemed like Bilal had 5 or 6 steals. They gave him 3. He probably had more. He was so good on the defensive end. Bob Carrington, 15 points, 4 assists on 4 of 7 from 3. Alex Sarr, 15 points, 3 blocks, and an efficient 7 of 9 from the field. Trey Johnson, 12 and 3 on 4 of 8 from the field. Will Riley gave you some good bench minutes, 8 points, got to the rim when he really wanted to, drew some fouls. CJ McCollum contributed. You had across the board really good contributions, but specifically from that young core. Troy Haliburton, my good friend, I saw him tweet out this was kind of the game that showcases, like, this is what the rebuild is about. And, like, games like this are what you hope to see 2, 3 years down the line, where the Wizards are doing this on a consistent nightly basis. And when they're winning here 30 games into the season, this is their, 17th to 20th win versus it being their sixth, obviously, in 29 tries. But just a really good effort from this team. And we're going to break it down in this episode. Like I mentioned, it was a close first quarter to kind of give you a brief recap of the game. Close first quarter, Wizards led by 3. They used a really good second quarter. CJ went on, I think, a personal 8-0 run to close it, 14-2 run to close the half from the Wiz. They led by 11 at the break, and then Toronto kind of crawls its way back, and they outscored the Wiz by 9 in the third quarter. And so you got a close 2-point game entering the fourth. We've seen the Wizards here all season. Teams make runs. That's expected. But when it matters in the fourth quarter, this team has crumbled. They've folded, whatever word you want to call it. They've not been able to sustain the effort for 4 quarters. Whether they were losing by a little bit and then got blitzed, or they were winning by a lot and blew it, they have struggled mightily with the game on the line. That wasn't the case tonight. They dominated the quarter, outscored Toronto 36-17 in the fourth. Bilal Coulibaly gave some really good minutes. Alex Sarr and Trey Johnson like barely played, but they didn't really need to, because the team played really well. Keyshawn had a really good first half with 18 points on 7 of 9 from the field. Cooled off a little in the second half. Same with CJ McCollum. But when they needed buckets, they got them. And the Wizards realistically just dominated a Toronto team that had some injuries. RJ Barrett didn't play, but they had Scottie Barnes. They had Brandon Ingram, who was phenomenal. They had Mabu Kwelishvili, who knocked down a couple threes. Emmanuel Quickley was pretty good. Like, they were pretty healthy. They had a bunch of their young guys, and the Wizards dominated them. So it's not like it's a you can't really take this as a win because they played a depleted team. Like, they have injuries too. Kispert didn't play. Whitmore obviously didn't play. And they still found a way to dominate a Toronto team that looked like they could be a contender in the East earlier in the season. They're still 18-14, which is pretty good. But it was the Wizards' night. They shot really well from 3. The biggest thing was for Toronto, like, the Wizards, I think, gave up, allowed 10 made threes in the first half. I think they only gave Toronto 2 made threes in the second half. And in the first half, the made threes were wide open. Like, they were just getting killed on the perimeter. which I've been stressing all season. They got to get better, and they shored that up in the second half. They limited the turnovers in the second half, and they played a really inspired brand of basketball to close this game out. So really impressive stuff. Typically, I come on here and I try to find positives in what is a realistically a negative night. Tonight, they made my job pretty easy to just find positives because this game was littered with them. We can start with Keyshawn George, who kind of showed you a little bit of everything, and kind of showed you the good, the bad, but more so the good tonight with Key. Finished with 23 points on 9 of 13 from the field, 3 of 5 from 3. That's the efficiency from Key. I think they put Jacoby Walter on him a couple times, and he kind of was disrespected by that. Backed him down, got to the rim, hit a nice turnaround fade in the corner after knocking Walter down because he's not strong enough to guard Key. Took advantage of that matchup, which I thought was really great, but also had a couple bad turnovers. Forced a pass out of the post that was just to the Raptors. Had another one earlier in the game where he just passed it to a Raptors player. So certainly had some of those. He had finished with three turnovers, five fouls. Like, he was in foul trouble for a lot of the game, but when he was in the game, he was really impacting. I mean, plus 16 in 28 minutes for Key, 23 points. Just really can't say enough about, like, when he's on the floor, and that's why you're stressing the please stop fouling, because he had a couple tonight again where it's he doesn't get a call or he turns the ball over and then he just fouls. It's a frustration foul, and he's got to mature and he's got to make sure he's not doing that, because this team, like I said, plus 16 with him on the floor is better when Keyshawn George is available and not fighting foul trouble and not having to sit on the bench for most of the fourth. So really thought he was playing under control. I believe entering tonight, I saw this on the broadcast or heard on the broadcast, it was, I think, five straight games with six or more assists for Key. Only had three tonight, but I thought he impacted winning, was more aggressive. You like to see the 13 shots instead of the six shots that you saw a couple nights ago, or the 1 of 9 performance that you saw, I think it was against Charlotte. So good rebound performance from Key after, I think, his worst game of the season, which is nice to see. He completely dominated when he was on the floor. So thought he was awesome. We got to talk about Bilal Coulibaly real quick, because if you ask me after the first, 15, 16 minutes of the game, and I even tweeted it out, I was kind of frustrated with Bilal. Like, it was the same stuff where he started the game with a steal, got to the rim, and that was two quick points for him. And I feel like he does that a lot early in games, gets a steal, gets a quick layup in transition, or a big dunk, and then you don't hear from him for the rest of the game. That wasn't the case tonight, but I want to get the negatives out of the way first. I think he finished 1 of 4 from 3. Missed his first two, and the first two that he missed were open looks. BI, Brandon Ingram, was on him for both of the shots. And like the Hornets had done the game before, their hands were just down. And Brandon Ingram's hands were basically behind his back. And I'm sure in the game plan, Darko told him, like, let number zero shoot the ball. If he makes a three, he makes a three. But it was clear the Raptors were like, you have a quick first step. You can get to the rim. We don't want you to do that. Please, that's the best shot we can have is you taking a three. You're 25% on the year. And I mean, he was 1 of 4 tonight, so checks out. But he missed both. I think all four of his threes were realistically open. The one he made in the corner was contested, which is hilarious, but missed three open looks tonight. It's a common theme for Bilal. It's definitely a concern in year three when it was 34% his rookie year to 28% last year. He's now down to 25.5, 26% this season, was 1 of 4 tonight. That was kind of the lone blemish on his game. But I thought in the second and third quarters, he really got aggressive, got fouled multiple times. You rarely see Bilal getting calls and getting to the line, but was ultra aggressive, got to the lane. And when he was efficient at doing so, like, I felt like when he didn't make the layup, he got fouled and he was aggressive. There was this particularly move in the third quarter where he got on the left wing, drove right by his defender to the right, and got an easy layup. Like, those are the types of moves you want from him. Drew, I think, two fouls in a span of three possessions in the second quarter. Finished, I think he took how many free throws? Five free throws, which not a lot for a lot of players, but for Lal, that was good. 21 points on 8 of 14 from the field. That's a season high 21 points. 8 rebounds, probably up there again with a season high for Bilal. Thought he was really active. Like I mentioned, three steals, one block. I thought he had five or six steals at least. Just didn't get credit for them, I guess. I don't know, but I'll have to look at the defensive metrics after the game. But if my eyes tell me, like, the defensive metrics should back it up as well, that he was so good on the defensive end. BI made some tough shots on him, drew a couple fouls on him, but I thought Bilal did a great job of making things difficult for a guy in BI who can get a shot up over really anybody in the league, maybe not Wemby, but pretty much anybody. And I just thought Bilal was so good on both ends. And so really good performance from him. The 3-point shot, like, I can't just disregard that because he had his best game offensively of the year. That's definitely a real concern. But I'm going to start to, focus on the positives tonight. And this was clearly Bilal's most aggressive, most impactful offensive game this season, which is really nice to see. Hopefully he can build on it next time out. Another two-way player in Alex Saar, so good at protecting the rim. The metrics back it up. He's one of the best players in this league. With the amount of pressure that opponents generate on the Wizards basket, Saar does such a good job of denying them. He had finished with 3 blocks tonight, was a plus 11. 7 of 9 from the field on, 15 points on 7 of 9 from the field is, it's such a difference from last season. The efficiency, like, this guy shot sub 40% from the field as a 7-footer in his rookie year. And you had all the critics saying that Alex Saar is not good, and it is blasphemy for a 7-footer to shoot that low. And some people were like, he shouldn't even be all NBA first or second team rookie because of that. And the efficiency is just night and day. And it's because he's not shooting so many threes. He took one three tonight. It was open look. He made it. But he's not taking a lot this season. And the efficiency is great. I thought he got to the rim. He had a couple spin moves on Mamu. Alex really likes to go into the lane on that right hand, spin back, and then kind of shoot that hook shot over his right shoulder, I believe, with his left hand. He can do it on both sides, but I think he likes to go to his right. But he had that cooking against Mamu. He had the size advantage, the length advantage on Mamukelashvili, and I thought he took a real advantage of that with Poeltl not playing for Toronto. Thought Alex did a great job there. I liked his rim protection, a couple big time swats, which was nice to see. I'm really starting to enjoy the aspect of his game where, and it was like a quiet 15. Like, you watch the game, you're like, he had a lot of blocks, because it's not like a loud 15. He's not making a bunch of threes or anything, but he's rolling to the rim. His teammates are finding him. He's playing like a true center instead of like a stretch four in a center's body, if that makes sense. Like I mentioned with the threes, 30% last season is up to 36% this season. He shot 5 last game, or 5 per game last year, down to 3 this season. So taking 2 less per game, shooting 6% better from 3. That's outstanding. Shot 39% from the field last year on 12 attempts. He's shooting 3 more field goal attempts per game this season, and he's up to 50.5% from the field. That's an 11% jump from the field, a 6% jump from 3. Up in points, up in rebounds, which is great. He averaged 6 last year, and people were like, get your ass on the glass, you're a center. He's up to nearly 9 a game. He's averaging 18, pretty much 18 and 9 this season on 50, 35, and 64, which is a really good jump. Obviously, the free throws need to be better, but overall, like, he's been so impactful on the defensive end that I feel like not a lot of people are kind of seeing his efficiency and his improvement on the offensive end. And I think that's, you can chalk that up to him putting in the work in the offseason. You can chalk that up to him taking better shots. And realistically, like I mentioned, taking 2 fewer threes per game is certainly something that will help that percentage. So the leap he's been taking has been awesome. Tonight, I thought, was one of his more efficient, sound, just really ethical, like Wemby's been saying, ethical basketball games. But 7 of 9 from the field is so great for a guy in Saar who shot sub 40 from the field last year. So really, really pleased with what he did. Thought he impacted the game so well on both ends of the floor, which you're kind of coming to expect this season from him. I mean, another guy from that draft class, we've talked about how good Key was. We talked about how good Alex Saar was tonight. We talked about how good Bilal was. To round out the 2024 class, Bob Carrington, again, so good. I think it's pretty easy to say, like, he's becoming a knockdown 3-point shooter. The confidence that he has from games like 1 to 15 to games 16 to 29 has been so much different from the first half of these games to the second half. His last 8 games, he's averaging like 15, 5, and 5. He's shooting, I think, up to 43% from 3 this season. Knocked down his first 2 looks tonight. finished 4 of 7 from three, 15 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. And the best part about Bub, and I mentioned this on the last episode, and probably the one before that too, is a lot of these times you'd see if he was in double figures, you'd look and Bub gets his, but he's like a minus 30 in those minutes or a minus 24 in those minutes. And it's like, yeah, obviously he's going to be better when the Wizards are more successful, but he was a plus 17 tonight. Like when Bub is on the floor, the Wizards are a lot better basketball team these last 5 or 6 games. And like that's saying something for a guy. And I saw the stat. It was like through X amount of games, Bub Carrington has the worst plus minus overall in NBA history. So like those were the stats that people were pulling to kind of say, or at least try to say that Bub Carrington's a bust or Bub Carrington is just dropping off in his sophomore year. It can't be farther from the truth, because Bub Carrington's been arguably the Wizards, definitely the best player off the bench these last couple games. But when he was starting, he was one of the better players on this team. He's been so consistent with the two. That was one of the things I feared is like he had a pretty good run there and he had a really bad first part of the season. Like, can he sustain this? And it's been about 9, 10 games now where you've seen this good, consistent production, especially from three from Bub, which has been great to see. Obviously, the one thing I want to see is more paint touches. Like, he took 8 field goals, 7 of them were threes. Like that's fine when he's making them, and if he's not, then that's certainly something to talk about. But look, 4 of 7 from three. He's shooting, I think, 50 somewhere between 45 and 50% from three over his last 4 or 5 games. Really can't say enough about him. He's getting to his spots. Like the catch and shoot threes are money. The off the dribble step back threes are money. So he's able to do it from there. He had a mid-range where he kind of came off, got off the ball screen, got to his spot, and knocked it down like you saw last season. So he's incorporating the midi a little bit. Heavy, very, very heavy reliance on the three for Bub, but he's been so good. And it's so great for him because I know it was probably wearing on him. I hope it wasn't, but you had a lot of fans that jump ship in the beginning. And there's a difference between saying Bub Carrington has played bad versus calling Bub Carrington a bust. And like I talked about it on the pod in the beginning of the season. I kept stressing anytime that I mentioned Bub Carrington playing bad, I think every time I mentioned I am not giving up on Bub. And I know Bub will get back and I know Bub will play well because he has it in him. He's so young and he played so well at the end of last year and he's a good shooter. He'll get to his spots and he'll figure it out. And I'm glad I was one of the fans that, was able to just say, like, look, he's playing bad, but he's not that bad. He'll figure it out. And these last couple games, he's sort of proven that and proven the people that were kind of doubting him wrong, by basically letting his game speak for itself. And he's turning himself into a really lethal 3-point shooter that can run the offense. He's becoming a really good passer out of the pick and roll. Found Bagley, found Sarr on a couple of really good passes. Hit a long outlet pass to Keyshawn George to give the Wiz like a 20-point lead in the fourth. He's getting really good. And he's got a long way to go, specifically as this like point guard who can dictate and run the show. But these last couple games have been so strong for Bub. So really like what I saw from him. The last person that I mentioned in the beginning with the stats is Trey. And I thought, look, Trey didn't have it going from three. He was 0 of 3 tonight. But honestly, I think that's sort of a good thing because you were able to see, when Trey Johnson doesn't have it going from three, it doesn't mean he's not going to score or impact the game. And Trey was able to get into the paint for all of his buckets. He made 4 field goal attempts. 3 of them were layups to where he got by his defender, got to the lane. They were all off the dribble too. It wasn't like he just cut and found himself for an open layup. He created all 3 layups off the dribble for himself, got to the lane for a floater for his fourth field goal of the game, finished 4 of 8 from the field. So you were able to see, like, look, he's not just a shooter. He's shooting nearly 40% from the field or from three this season. But when it's not going, he's able to put the ball on the floor, put his head down, and get to the rim. And he did that tonight. And I really liked that. Got to the line. Made all 4 of his free throws. So really liked what I saw from Trey because look, he can shoot the ball, but can he get to the rim? Like he's tiny, he's kind of skinny. He's not the tallest guy, but he was able to create his own looks and create for himself, get to the bucket, get fouled, and that's what I really applauded about his game tonight. When you don't have it going from three, you're considered a really good shooter. What can you do for me? That was kind of the knock on Kispert before in year 3 or 4, he was able to say, like, look, I can put it on the deck and I can finish around the rim. I can finish through contact, but I also can obviously step out and hit the three. And we're starting to see that already from Trey, which is great. You had contributions from Will Riley off the bench. He had a couple really good moves, had a drop step to his left hand where he made the layup. He got to the rim. Again, Will Riley didn't take any threes, but was 3 of 7. All three of his buckets were tough. They were layups. They were in the lane. Got fouled. Was a +6. Again, I just think when Trey's in the game, the team plays well. And you kind of showcased that tonight. So again, like this was a great performance from the young core from the Wiz. You can include Will Riley in it. The stats won't show it, but I thought he was really good, especially on the offensive end tonight. So again, this is kind of what you're trying to see with these games. Like, yes, you're not going to win a lot, but every now and then it's okay. And you're going to get games like this where it kind of all comes together. You can sort of see the vision. And the best part, like apart from CJ McCollum tonight, I think all the other Wizards top scorers were guys that Will Dawkins drafted, 21 from Bilal. That was Dawkins' first draft pick 3 years ago. 23 to lead the team from Keyshawn George, who was the third pick he made in the first round in 2024, was the 24th pick in the draft, and he's putting out 23 and 6 on 9 of 13 from the field. And that's not even like a that's so impressive game from Key, because we've seen him do better this year, especially against Memphis and against Dallas. 15 points on 7 of 9 from the field and 3 blocks for Alex Saar, your number two pick a year ago, who was heavily doubted that he could actually round out his offensive game. And as like I mentioned earlier in the episode, just gotten so much better efficiency wise. 11% improvement from the field, 6% improvement from three. Much, much better shot diet, and one of the best, statistically backed, one of the best rim protecting bigs in the league at 20 years old in year two. He was phenomenal tonight. Like I mentioned off the bench, Bob Carrington has been so good as of late. 15 points on 4 of 7 from the field, a team high +17. He was great. He was your number 14 pick that you traded Denny Avdia for a year ago. Got a lot of pushback on that trade when Bob was playing bad. Haven't heard too much of it lately with the Blazers playing bad and Bob playing good, but I'll rest my case. That's a whole nother topic. But he was your number 14 pick a year ago. And then this past draft, you have Trey Johnson, who had 12 off the bench, can shoot the ball, is nearly 40% from three on the season, but showcased that he can do a lot more tonight, and that's probably why the Wizards felt comfortable taking him so high. He's been good this season. Will Riley with 8 off the bench, finally getting some minutes. The only draft pick you didn't see was Jameer much because he's not kind of in the rotation. He was good when he played in the rotation, got just 3 minutes tonight. But it was just one of those banner nights where everything comes together, and it's few and far between. This is probably only the second time, but with Bub playing well and Riley finally in the rotation, it was realistically the first time this season where everything kind of came together. The young core played well, you got contributions from your vets, and you dominated a Raptors team that's one of the best teams, which the East isn't good, but one of the top teams in the East. So can't really say enough. This is a really, 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 really impressive four-quarter showing from the Wiz. I thought CJ was great too. He's a veteran, so fans won't get too amped about his performance. But in the first half, he was kind of the reason they got a lead in at halftime. 21 points on 8 of 16 from the field. He only had 5 after halftime, but thought he was really a leading cause in the Wizards growing their lead. It was another sort of efficient night for him, so I thought he was good. Middleton not so great, 6 points, only played 19 minutes. So I think Brian Keefe probably noticed that too, where like he's not playing bad, but other guys were just a lot better tonight, and I'm glad honestly that Keith gave those minutes out. You had Champagne, who he had an offensive rebound earlier in the game. He kicked it out to someone for a three, but it was one of the most impressive offensive rebounds that you can get. Honestly, he finished with 8 points on 3 of 4 from the field, was a +10. Bagley again, 6 points on 3 of 4, another efficient night. 5 boards to assist, was a +7. So you're continuing to get a consistent production from those guys, Champagne and Bagley off the bench. They're trade pieces. They're on unbelievable contracts, pretty much vet minimums for both. So we'll see if the Wizards can generate any interest in them. But they've been really good this season. And tonight, a little overshadowed by the young guys' production, but don't want to miss them because I thought they were good. It was interesting to see. Brian Keefe seems like he's sort of settled into this 10-man rotation. With Kispert back, I would assume Will Riley will be out of the rotation, which I don't like, but I do think Kispert has played good enough to warrant a spot in the rotation. He's hamstring tightness, I believe. So he unfortunately was out again tonight, just a game after he came back from a 10-game absence with that thumb injury. But again, like 10 deep, you had Bagley, Champagne, Carrington, Johnson off the bench, which is pretty standard, I guess, for this group. And then you had Will Riley as well, sort of that 10th man who played the least amount of minutes, but again thought he was good in those minutes. So that sort of 10 deep would assume Riley drops out whenever Kispert returns. Whitmore is going to be out a couple months. But overall, I kind of like the rotations and like the way that this team played. Really impressive stuff from the Wiz tonight. Really a wire to wire good effort. There's like obviously the some downsides, like the wide open threes from Toronto. Every single ATO that the Raptors run, play after a timeout was just an open three or an open midi. That wasn't good. The Wizards started the fourth with an 8 second violation. That wasn't good. Like those were some blunders. Obviously, 14 turnovers, not great overall, but don't want to harp on those too much, just because I don't want to be negative. This was a really positive win. It's their sixth of the season, and I know there's going to be widespread panic because the Pacers also have 6 wins, and like the Wizards aren't like the worst team by a mile in the league as of now. But like it's okay. Like this was a positive win. This was a positive step in the right direction. The young guys played really well. Like yeah, the Pacers are 6-25. The Wizards are 6-23. But like newsflash, even if the season ended today, which it doesn't, it's what is it? A little over a third of the way through. They would still be guaranteed to keep their pick. The Kings have 7 wins. The Clippers and the Pelicans have 8 wins. The Nets have 9. The Jazz have 10. Like, you're pretty okay when it comes to being in the bottom part of the league, and you can afford to have some wins. Like I'll like the Wizards are not going to allow this pick to not be guaranteed to be in their possession by the end of the season. So you might as well just sit back and enjoy some of these wins, because they're going to be few and far between, especially efforts like this where you get a lot of good contributions from your young guys. So like I understand, like yes, focus on the main goal, which is development, but also keeping the pick. But if you're a fan, like focus on the development and the win, because it's not your job to figure out how they're going to keep their pick. But if I can kind of ease a little bit of your guys' stress, if you're one of those fans, like they're going to keep their pick. Like they know what they're doing. It's okay. They're still tied for the worst, lowest amount of wins in the league. It's all going to be okay. But if I were you, I would enjoy this win, because efforts like this won't come often. It was really the first time in 29 games that the Wizards dominated, and it's because of all of their draft picks, and that's pretty cool to see. So, going over my notes, I really think I touched on pretty much all of it. So I'm probably gonna wrap it up here. That's gonna do it for this episode of the Wizards podcast, recapping the Wizards' 138-117 win over the Toronto Raptors. They are 6-23 now on the season. Bilal Coulibaly was great on both ends. So was Alex Saar. Keyshawn George led the team with 23. Trey Johnson, Bob Carrington played really well off the bench. That's the sixth win of the season for the Young Wiz. Coming up, they have two more on this homestand, the 28th Sunday against the Grizzlies, and then the back-to-back on the 29th against Phoenix. I'll be back to recap that Memphis game on Sunday. That's 6 o'clock start, and that's the next time you'll hear from me. So again, thanks for listening as always. It's going to do it for this episode of the Wizards podcast. Good win for the Wiz. Thanks for listening as always. Go Wiz.